There is a tale of a trickster that I'd like to relate to you now. It's a story about Raccoon. Raccoon is, again, one of these people who has a big appetite, and most tricksters have a big appetite, but in this particular case, he managed to succeed in what he wanted to do. And it's another one of these stories that tells you what happens when you boast and you don't tell the truth. It's called Raccoon and the Crayfish. One day, Joega, the raccoon, was walking along. As he walked, he began to feel hungry. So when he saw a small stream, he decided to do some fishing. "Maybe there is a fish under here," he said, feeling under a large stone with his long fingers. But a crayfish was hiding there. It nipped Raccoon's finger hard with its claws. "Eh!" Raccoon yelped, "Ugh!" Pulling his paw out from under the stone. He reached under again, and this time the raccoon nipped two of his fingers. "Hey, hey!" Raccoon yipped, "Ugh!" Pulling his paw out again. He was very angry. For a moment, he almost forgot how hungry he was. Then he began to think. "You crayfish are too smart for me," he said in a loud voice. "I'm about to die of hunger anyway, and I can't catch anything to eat." He walked away from the stream into the woods. There he found some sticky pine pitch and some dead leaves on the ground. He put the pine pitch on his fur and rolled in the leaves, and his fur looked very, very messy. He found a rotten elm log, and he bit off a piece of that wood and held it in his mouth. Then he crawled quietly back to the stream, rolled over on his back, closed his eyes, and opened his mouth. Some time passed. A small crayfish peered out of the stream. As soon as it saw Joega, the raccoon, it became frightened. "It is the man-eater!" squeaked the crayfish and scooted back into the stream and darted under a rock. But when no raccoon paws came searching for it, the crayfish became curious. It crawled to the edge of the stream bank and peeked out. There lay Raccoon. His fur was dirty. His mouth was open. His eyes were closed. "Can it be that Raccoon has died?" said the little crayfish. He crawled out of the stream. Joega did not move. "He is dead," said the crayfish. Then he jumped into the stream and swam as fast as he could to the place where the other crayfish lived. "Raccoon is dead! Raccoon is dead! Raccoon is dead!" he shouted loud. "The man-eater is dead! The man-eater is dead! Our enemy will hunt us no more!" Hearing the noise, the chief of the crayfish asked his warriors to find out what was happening. Soon they came back and they brought the little crayfish with them. "Raccoon is dead! Raccoon is dead! Raccoon is dead!" said the little crayfish. "His body lies on the bank of the stream!"
"How did he die?" said the chief. He found it hard to believe Raccoon was really gone. The small crayfish looked around him. Many had gathered to listen.
"I killed him," he said. "It was a terrible fight! A terrible fight! Many times he almost had me! He almost had me! Finally, I picked him up, and I threw him on the ground! I threw him on the ground, and then he died!"
"Hmm," said the chief of the crayfish. "Can you take us to the place where you fought this great battle?"
"Yes," said the small crayfish, "and you will see that Raccoon is dead indeed."
So the chief of the crayfish and many others went to the place where Joega still lay. His eyes were closed. His feet were up in the air. His mouth was open. "See if he's dead," said the chief to one of his warriors. The warrior scuttled a few inches out of the water and then hurried back to safety, but Raccoon did not move.
"Yes," said the warrior, "he's dead."
"Go and pinch him," said the chief to another warrior. The second warrior scuttled up to Raccoon. Raccoon did not move. He reached down and grabbed Raccoon's tail hard with his claw and twisted it as he pinched. But Raccoon did not move.
"He is dead," said all the crayfish.
But the chief did not come out of the water. "Look into his mouth, you," said the chief. And another crayfish warrior came out of the water. He crawled up to Raccoon's mouth. He crawled right inside and found the rotting wood.
"Eh, hey!" shouted the third crayfish. "He is very dead. He has already begun to rot."
Now the chief was convinced. He led the others out of the water. There were many of them, and they formed a circle around Raccoon's body. They began to dance, singing this victory song. Joega, Joega, no more will he trouble us. Joega, 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 no more will he trouble us. Joega.
As they sang, they danced closer and closer to Raccoon. And when they were close enough,
Raccoon jumped up.
He grabbed to the left. He grabbed to the right. He caught all of the crayfish, and he ate them. Then he went down to the stream and washed his paws and cleaned off the pine pitch. So it is that ever since then, raccoons always wash their food when they eat. And when he was done, he smiled. Perhaps, he said, you crayfish are not too smart for me after all. Then he went on his way. Ho! There is silence as the last story ends. The storyteller looks around the circle.
Ho!
He says. But there is no response. Outside the longhouse, Moon, our grandmother, casts her quiet light on the snow. Somewhere from the distance, our clan brother Wolf, who taught the people to come together in council and join their voices in song long ago, calls across the hills. The voice of the owl says, it is time to sleep.
Ah,
says the storyteller, my audience is asleep. A small child tries to answer just one more time, but her words turn into a yawn as she settles back in her mother's arms and closes her eyes. Parents smile, remembering when they too struggled to stay awake all night to hear stories told by old men and women who no longer walk among the living. But their voices and stories are still alive, and they are no further away than the other side of a fallen leaf. It is time to sleep. And so the parents and the elders nod their thanks to the storyteller.
Naho, he says, I have spoken.
And he watches his audience slip away to the sleeping quarters which line both sides of the great longhouse. For a time he sits alone by the fire, reading the messages in its light. Then one of his own daughter's children, herself a young woman now, comes to him. Grandfather, she says, my mother says it is time for rest. The storyteller smiles. For tonight, he says. Only for tonight.